Well, all week this week we're looking at the Iraq War 10 years on. As we know, supporters of the war justified the invasion at the time on the grounds that Saddam Hussein's government held weapons of mass destruction. That intelligence assessment was proven incorrect, Allied forces failing to find such weapons. Peter Kilfoyle is a former junior defence minister in Tony Blair's Labour government. As an MP, he moved an amendment in the parliament opposing Britain's military involvement in Iraq. That amendment was defeated. 2 days later, the invasion began. Peter Kilfoyle joins us from Liverpool now. Peter, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Hi.
Peter Kilfoyle, 10 years on, what are your reflections on the US-led invasion of Iraq?
On a personal level, obviously, I feel vindicated, along with colleagues who took a similar stand to myself, because we were shown to be right, frankly. But I have very mixed feelings because obviously a lot of lives were lost on both sides of the conflict unnecessarily, and in my view anyway, the seeds were planted for ongoing conflict in the Middle East, and we're still seeing that on this very day.
We'll come to that in a moment, but I'd like to stay, if you can, take us back to that date, March the 18th, 2003, the amendment you moved in the Commons against the invasion. It was a fairly robust, if not brutal, debate in the House of Commons. Then there was also the Million Man March, a huge protest march in London against the invasion. Yep. Just recall that time for us, can you?
Well, okay. Well, the debate itself, you're right, it was a packed house. Tony Blair spoke first, and he was followed by the leader of the opposition, who was then Ian Duncan Smith. And he, if anything, was more bellicose than Tony Blair. Then I had to move the amendment against the war. And right away, the odds were stacked against us because we had a time limit of 8 minutes. I had a time limit of 8 minutes. They had unlimited time. But nevertheless, I mean, they're the rules of the game. And as you know, we lost the vote, but there was a million-person march, and I felt as though people generally were very, very much against the war. And I could tell just from Labour Party contacts, for example, because huge numbers of people left the Labour Party in disgust over the position that was taken up by Blair and his supporters. But it was a very, very tense time. It was a time when people actually believed that by that huge demonstration they could change the government's mind. But of course they couldn't. The one thing that did come out of it, which is very important, is that I don't believe that a British Prime Minister could ever go to war again without going before Parliament and getting a vote to sanction it.
And that was the difference at this time. There was not a vote to sanction it. It was a declaration and a debate about that declaration, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, prior to that, of course, it would have been seen as something which a Prime Minister, on behalf of the Queen, the head of state, could actually make a decision on without any reference to Parliament. But like the Americans brought in a War Powers Act, in a sense, that actual debate brought in a similar process into the British Parliament. It would be inconceivable for them to go to war in the same way without a full debate on all of the issues.
To a very large degree, Tony Blair at the time based his decision to go to war on the notion that, so the allegation that Saddam Hussein's government had weapons of mass destruction. There was a whole debate after, many years after that, in terms of the dodgy dossier and all of that. And today, the BBC on the Panorama programme is reporting that Western intelligence agencies had intelligence coming from two high-level sources in Saddam Hussein's inner circle, telling them that there were no weapons of mass destruction. But the same programme, the reporter who's made this documentary, says Tony Blair didn't lie. Are you happy to accept that? Do you accept that, that Tony Blair didn't lie about that?
No, I don't. I think that Tony Blair used the weapons of mass destruction argument as a pretext. I think he was looking for any reason to justify him going to war. The real reason for him going to war was for him, as he put it, to stand shoulder to shoulder with the American government of George W. Bush. And everything else was secondary to that. But I knew Tony Blair very well. And he has a capacity for holding two mutually exclusive propositions in his head at the same time. And he tends to justify things, in my view, as if he believes they're right, they somehow become inevitable. It's a very personal thing. It's not based upon rational argument, debate, and arriving at consensus. That's his view. People follow it. And he's always been of that mind. And that was the case over the Iraq war. He'd taken a view. He'd plighted his troth to George W. Bush. End of the story. What he needed to do in terms of the general public was to find some kind of palatable excuse in order to justify it. And I'm convinced in my own mind that he was fully aware that the WMD argument was a fallacious one. Yet that was the only one upon which he could sell that kind of a escapade to the British public.
What about the operation of the intelligence organisations since then? Britain went through the Hutton inquiry, of course. Do you think that they have learnt lessons, changed their behaviour? This wouldn't happen in the same way?
No. I think those cultures have not shifted one iota. And, of course, we've still not had the authoritative Chilcot report to actually tell us what conclusions could be drawn, really, about what was known and what was not known. It's extraordinary that we haven't heard the full inquiry results as yet. And I do believe, as far as I'm concerned anyway, that the intelligence services live in a world. I had personal experience of them when I was a defence minister, and I found them extraordinary people. I realise it's a difficult job, but sometimes some of the operatives, they live in a fantasy world.
It's 5 minutes to seven on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Peter Kilfoyle. He's a former defence minister in the Blair government and was a fierce opponent against the Iraq war. Peter Kilfoyle, we've only got a few minutes left, but 10 years on, we have the benefit of hindsight, of course. Yesterday on the programme, we spoke with an Australian retired general, Jim Molan. He was the coalition's chief of operations in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, so after the initial invasion. He's told us he had reservations about the war, but told us also that based on all the available information 10 years ago, the invasion of Iraq was probably the right decision. Now, you don't agree with that, but we have heard a number of comments from Iraqis today. We heard some of them in that Hugh Sykes piece on the BBC, on BBC Radio 2, saying that their lives are better today, free of Saddam Hussein.
Many thousands of people would agree with that, but there's many thousands who are dead, who are not in a position to agree or disagree. So that's one measure. Secondly, there are still suicide bombs going off in Iraq. That there's a huge schism that's been opened up. It may have been smoothed over for a long time under Saddam, but that schism between Shia and Sunni has become one of the increased fault lines throughout the Middle East as a result of what happened on that day. And as for the consensus or the wisdom of the decision that was made at the time, there were plenty of dissenting voices. As I put it in the debate, we didn't have, prior to World War II, we didn't have League of Nations inspectors dismantling the panzers, as we had Hans Blick and Mohammed al-Baradi and their teams actually taking apart what was left of some of the arms facilities and looking for WMD in Iraq. I mean, it was wholly specious of people to try and say, well, somehow 10 years ago, the evidence was not there to suggest that they were wrong. What's more important is the evidence was not there to show that they were right. And they should have erred on the side of caution, in my view, and they never did.
Peter Kilfoyle, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Peter Kilfoyle is a former junior defence minister in the Blair government, a staunch opponent to the US-led war in Iraq, which took place 10 years ago this week. In fact, he moved the amendment in the British Parliament opposing Britain's military involvement in Iraq.